I feel the break before it happens. The house is quiet, in a way that tells me something final is coming. He stands in front of me with his arms crossed and his voice flat. He says the word, divorce, and it hits the room like a dropped weight. I stare at him, because I know he means it. I hear myself breathe and nothing else. I walk outside and sit in the car with the engine off. I grip the wheel. My hands shake. I know this is the moment my life splits. I know the cost will land on me first. The street looks normal. People walk, drive, laugh, and move on with their day. I feel locked in place. I do not cry. I only think about how long I stayed and how much I lost trying to keep us alive. This is where it starts for me. Chapter 1, The First Break. He says divorce again that night. He says it slow, so I cannot pretend I misheard. I stand in the kitchen with a dish towel in my hand. The sink drips. The clock on the wall ticks loud enough to cut through me. I look at his face and see nothing soft. I know we are done. I feel it settle in my chest. I walk to the bedroom without a word. I close the door and lock it. I sit on the edge of the bed and stare at the carpet. My hands pull at the seam in the blanket. My breathing stays shallow. He moves to the hallway and drags a suitcase across the floor. I hear the zipper. He goes to the spare room. That door shuts. The house splits in two. I lie down alone and let the dark press in. I wait for tears, but they do not come. My mind stays sharp and angry. I think about the small things that pushed us here. The ignored calls. The quiet disrespect. The nights he scrolled through his phone while I talked. The mornings he walked past me without a word. I replay each moment until I feel sick. I get up around 1 in the morning. I walk through the living room and see the glow from under the spare room door. I know he is awake. I know he is texting someone. I do not ask who. I do not knock. I sit on the couch and wrap my arms around myself. My phone buzzes with a message from a friend asking if I made it home safe. I stare at the screen. I type that the marriage might be over. My hands shake while I send it. I open the browser on my phone and search for divorce lawyers. The screen loads slow. I scroll through names I have never seen. Each one has a price range listed under it. My stomach turns. I pick the first one with an early appointment and book a consultation. The confirmation email hits my inbox. I close the phone and drop it on the cushion beside me. The room feels colder. I pull my knees to my chest. I whisper to myself that I will get through this. I do not believe it yet. I try to focus on my breathing. I feel the weight of everything that will come. I picture paperwork and courtrooms and bank accounts torn open. I picture explaining this to people who will judge me without saying it out loud. The sun comes up before I sleep. I walk into the kitchen and make coffee. My hands tremble while I pour it. He comes out of the spare room and avoids my eyes. He walks past me and picks up his keys. He leaves without a word. The door closes. The silence hits me harder than the argument. I sit at the table and stare at the wall. The lawyer's estimate flashes in my mind. I know I cannot afford this. I know I cannot afford not to do it. I rest my head on the table and breathe slow until my chest stops tightening. Around midday, I take my car keys and drive. I do not know where I am going. I end up in a parking lot near a grocery store. I park under a tree and sit there. I grip the steering wheel and try to steady my breath. My eyes sting, but I do not let the tears fall. I talk out loud. I say I cannot keep living like this. Essay, I want peace. My voice cracks. I drop my forehead to the wheel. My phone rings. I let it go to voicemail. I am not ready to speak. I close my eyes and sit in the heat. Sweat runs down my back. I stay still until my breathing evens. When I drive home, he is gone again. The house looks the same but feels stripped. I step inside, close the door, and lock it. I walk to the bedroom and sit on the bed. I breathe deep and steady. I tell myself the truth. The marriage is over. The cost is coming. I have to face it. I look at my reflection in the dresser mirror. My face looks tired. My eyes look older than yesterday. I hold that stare until I feel something shift inside me. I whisper that I will not beg for love again. I end the night in silence. No apology. No fix. No hope of a gentle landing. Only the truth pressing down on me. This is where my life starts breaking open. Chapter 2. The payment begins. I walk into the lawyer's office 2 days later. The air feels heavy. I sit across from her while she explains the process. Her voice is calm. Mine is not. I sign the first set of documents. My hand shakes while I write my name. When the pen leaves the page, the marriage moves from a feeling to a file. She tells me the first payment is due in 10 days. The number sits in my chest like a weight. I nod, even though I barely breathe. I drive home in silence. I park in the driveway and sit there until my legs stop trembling. When I walk inside, his things are gone from the hallway. His shoes. His jacket. The space feels wider, but not safer. I stand there and wait for the room to steady. Nothing does. I pull myself together and check the mail. 2 bills sit on top of the stack, both higher than usual, both in my name now. I spend the next week trying to stretch money that will not stretch. I cut groceries. I turn off lights. I cancel small comforts. Each time I open my banking app, the numbers drop lower. I feel my throat tighten. I start listing what I can sell. I go through drawers and closets. I lay things on the bed and stare at them. None of it feels like enough. He sends a message about picking up the last of his belongings. I tell him they will be by the door. He responds with one word. I try not to read tone into it. My chest still tightens. When he comes by, he does not step inside. He grabs the bags and leaves. We barely look at each other. I watch him walk away like he is a stranger. It hits me that he truly is. The first court meeting comes faster than I expect. I walk through the doors with my hand shaking. I sit at a table across from him and keep my eyes fixed on a folder. The judge asks questions. The lawyers answer. He does not look at me. I try not to look at him. The conversation turns to accounts, property, and the car. Each word feels like a cut. I speak only when I must. My voice stays low and steady. The judge schedules the next date and dismisses us. When I step outside, the air feels thick and hot. I lean against the railing and hold my breath until my chest loosens. The lawyer says we did fine. I nod. She leaves. I stand alone on the courthouse steps and try to understand how 2 people who shared a life now speak only through documents. The next month hits hard. The bills pile up. The lawyer's invoice arrives and takes most of what I earned. I fall behind on 1 payment and get a warning notice in a mail. My hands shake while I read it. I sit at the kitchen table and press my palms against my face. I do not cry. I fall quiet instead. I pick up extra hours where I can. I take a side job cleaning an office at night. My feet hurt. My back aches. I keep going. One night, I come home after midnight. I drop my bag on the floor and sit on the couch. The room is dark except for the streetlight through the window. My body feels done. I take slow breaths. I tell myself I will not break. My voice cracks. I straighten my spine and force myself to stand. A younger relative asks me one day if everything is all right. I freeze. I tell them I am handling things. They nod, but I see the worry in their eyes. It hits me that the tension leaks out even when I try to hide it. I walk to the bathroom and sit on the edge of the tub. My hands shake. I grip my knees until they stop. Weeks pass with no relief. The arguments over accounts grow sharp. He sends messages about what he wants. I answer only what the lawyer tells me to say. I feel drained each time his name appears on my phone. I mute the notifications so I can breathe without flinching. One night, I lie in bed staring at the ceiling. I listen to the house settle around me. I realize I have stopped waiting for him to change. I feel the truth settle into my body. There is no going back. The cost is real and rising. I close my eyes and try to imagine life after this. Nothing clear comes, only a faint sense of distance, a place I cannot see yet. I breathe slow and steady until the room stops spinning. The next hearing date sets on my calendar. My stomach tightens each time I look at it. I know the worst is still ahead. I know the final cut will come soon. I brace myself for it. I fall asleep that night knowing the fight is not about love anymore. It is about survival. It is about getting to the other side without losing the last pieces of myself. The bill has started. The cost is heavy, and I am nowhere near paid up. Chapter 3, When the Final Cost Arrives. Derek. The morning of the final hearing, I wake before the alarm. My body feels tight. My stomach is in a knot that will not ease. I get dressed slow. I tie my hair back. I look at myself in the mirror and see a woman who has aged through months of pressure. I take one long breath and walk out the door. The courthouse feels colder this time. I check in and sit on a bench. My hands stay folded in my lap because if I move them, they will shake. He walks in a few minutes later. We do not speak. We do not nod. We stand on opposite ends of a hallway like strangers forced into the same room by duty. When they call our names, I walk inside without looking at him. The judge reviews the file. The lawyers talk. I hear pieces of our life pulled apart and placed into categories: accounts, property, responsibilities. The judge speaks with calm authority. Then he says the words that end the marriage. He signs the document. The sound of the stamp lands heavy. It is done. I walk out of the room before my legs give out. I go to the bathroom and lock the door. I grip the edge of the sink. My breath comes in short bursts. I stare at my reflection and try to understand what I am now. A woman with no husband. A woman free and broken at the same time. I splash water on my face and steady myself. I leave the courthouse without looking back. The next days feel strange. The silence in the house is deeper than before. I fold laundry and cook dinner in a space that belongs only to me now. I check the mail and see the final paperwork. I hold it in my hands. My name stands alone on every page. I feel the truth settle in my chest. The marriage is gone. The last thread has been cut. I think about changing my last name. I sit at the kitchen table with the form in front of me. My hand hovers over the pen. I picture how his family used to introduce me. I picture who I was when I first took his name. I realize I do not know if I want to keep it, out of habit or fear. I set the form aside. I tell myself I will decide when my mind is steady. On Sunday, I walk into church for the first time since the separation. My heart feels heavy. I sit near the back. People glance at me. Some offer soft smiles. Some stare too long. I feel exposed. I bow my head and try to pray. The words come slow. I feel distant from the faith that once held me up. I sit through the service with quiet guilt pressed against my ribs. I leave as soon as it ends. During the next weeks, small judgments reach me through relatives and church members. They do not say it directly, but I hear it in their questions. Was I sure? Did I try hard enough? Did I pray enough? I nod and keep my answers short. I feel the sting beneath their tone. I go home and sit on my bed until the tightness in my chest fades. The first holiday after the divorce hits me harder than I expect. I wake up alone and make breakfast in silence. I scroll through photos of families and couples. I put the phone down before my throat closes. I step outside and walk through the neighborhood. The air is cool. The sky is clear. I breathe slow and try to feel present. I tell myself that loneliness does not mean failure. It only means change. Over the next months, I build a new routine. I wake early. I handle bills without waiting for help that never came. I draw firm boundaries with my ex. Our conversations stay brief and businesslike. Each time I hang up, I feel a small piece of power return. I clean the house, room by room. I throw out things that hold bad memories. I keep only what feels honest. One night, I sit on the floor with the journal open. I write down everything I survived. The arguments, the debt, the courtrooms, the long nights working two jobs. I write until my hand cramps. I close the journal and hold it against my chest. Something shifts inside me. Not peace yet, but clarity. I walk to the mirror and study my face. I see the woman who stayed too long. I see the woman who finally walked out. I breathe deep. I accept both truths. The cost was emotional. It was financial. It was spiritual. It stripped me down to the bone. It forced me to start over with nothing steady under my feet. But I am still here.